Researchers are asking whether Facebook and other social media sites like it can sway public opinion in an undemocratic way. Increasingly, websites are using algorithms designed to profile us and restrict what we see to just those things that we're interested in, and that includes, in Facebook's case, the news that's presented to us. An analysis this week of 10 million Facebook users showed that people tend to be friends with other people who share the same political viewpoints, and this means that they're much more likely to see and share news stories that echo those political sentiments, which creates, in effect, an online echo chamber, which Northeastern University political scientist David Lazar, who wasn't involved in the research, dubs a filter bubble.
We hope in a democratic society that people with opposing points of view have to occasionally collide with one another, hear each other's perspectives, disagree, but sometimes come to a common understanding or at least respect for each other's points of view. So if we're increasingly in a world where you only hear points of view that echo what you already believe, then we're going to increasingly be out of touch with the other side. And that might bode ill for democracy, where ultimately we all have to live under the same government, under the same set of laws, and we need to be able to respect the other side's point of view, even if we disagree.
Do you actually believe that? Because I put it to you that for decades, if not centuries, we've had newsrooms staffed by editors with their own personal political leaning. And whilst we may think that we're receiving impartial news, we're actually receiving news that's already been filtered, albeit by a human being rather than a computer program. And therefore, this is just the 21st century equivalent of what we've been doing for years already.
We've had many types of filter bubbles in our societies going back centuries. I think probably the biggest filter bubble is the personal filter bubble we create around ourselves, which is that our friends tend to be like us. We also might be less likely to discuss contentious political issues around people whose points of view we don't know. I think there are many ways that we have filtered the information around us, whether it's by going to people who we know agree with us, or whether it's reading newspapers or listening, for that matter, to radio stations, which we know will tend to have news from the tilt that we are interested in. So it's not clear, even if Facebook filters the news in certain ways, whether this is actually better or worse from the way we have been filtering information for centuries.
To what extent do you think this probably does bias people?
It is a slice of how we get information. For some people, it's a major slice of how we get information, because it's the step before many of us then go read news articles. So we may be in a casual conversation with someone over a cup of tea, but we don't then immediately click on something in that conversation and go to a news story. And so Facebook, I think, is becoming an increasingly important conduit for news. And so on the one hand, I agree that in some sense, Facebook is a reflection of our social networks. And on the other hand, because of the distinctive way Facebook works as compared to meeting someone face-to-face, it does end up acting as a very important conduit for news.
Now, given that you've highlighted the points that you have, the possibility of getting these sort of online echo chambers where people only hear sentiment that they agree with, and so the whole thing echoes and amplifies via these sorts of routes, what can we do about this? You've now observed and highlighted some of the risks. What should we do to make sure that they don't become realised?
I think there are a number of things we can do as individuals, and there are some things that we should think about in terms of the systems that we set up around us. As individuals, I think it's incumbent upon us to seek out points of view that are different from our own and to transcend our own filter bubbles. And that's something I think was good practice before Facebook and is still good practice. The second thing is that we need to think about the design of those systems like Facebook and what their systemic consequences are. And some of those consequences for things like our democracy might be quite problematic. And in those cases, we need to put pressure to change those systems in ways that will make the system healthier.
Do we not just need an algorithm that has a bit of inherent noise? So it says, well, yes, we've fed you, David, lots and lots of things you do like, but now alongside these sweets and delicious treats, we're also going to serve you up some greens and good-for-you things and just shove some stuff your way that you might not find so palatable, just to shake it up a bit?
That might well be sensible. The problem is that it might turn out just like it used to turn out when my kids were young, where they shoved the greens to the side and they didn't get eaten. So there's only so much you can do with an algorithm.
David Lazar from Northeastern University.